are geek-centric, and you can be too.
Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our special Behind the Geeks episode for the Apple original series, Sugar. If you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast covering the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectibles, gaming, and all things geekcentric. Today, we welcome Simon Kinberg, the executive producer of the Apple original series, Sugar. Now, if that name sounds familiar, Simon Kinberg is a well-known film producer, director, and screenwriter who's known for producing the X-Men films from the 20th Century Fox era. He also produced the Fantastic Four film directed by Josh Trank, as well as the Logan film and the Deadpool films. He also was producer on The Martian, Ridley Scott's film starring Matt Damon. He also directed Dark Phoenix, the finale in the X-Men First Class series. He also created Star Wars Rebels, which is one of my favorite pieces of Star Wars content. And he also wrote Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and he actually wrote X-Men The Last Stand. So we got a geeky guest for you today. A huge thanks to our friends at Apple TV for setting up this interview and for giving me an opportunity to check out the 8 episodes of this series. Now, if you haven't heard of the show, Sugar is a contemporary, unique take on one of the most popular and significant genres in literary motion picture and television history, the private detective story. Academy Award nominee Colin Farrell stars as John Sugar, an American private investigator on the heels of the mysterious disappearance of Olivia Siegel, the beloved granddaughter of legendary Hollywood producer Jonathan Siegel. As Sugar tries to determine what happened to Olivia, he also unearths Siegel's family secrets, some very recent and others long buried. This 8-episode series will debut on the streaming service Apple TV Plus Friday, April 5th, with the first 2 episodes, followed by 1 new episode weekly every Friday. Now, as I mentioned, I had an opportunity to check out this show, and I have to say, it was refreshingly different. In terms of crime, mystery, film noir stories, this is definitely very different from what you would expect. And in my conversation with Simon, we're going to talk about some of the inspirations and some of the very intentional nods to classic Hollywood films and the film noir era, more specifically, and why that was so relevant. This is a very unique show. I will say that I need more than the 8 episodes that they gave me. I have a lot of questions, but as anticipated for a lot of these crime mystery shows, there are some twists and some twists that will definitely have you surprised. Now, while this isn't an official review for the series, I would say this is a show worth checking out as of Friday, April 5th. The episodes are very digestible. They're 30 minutes. I found myself enjoying them very much. They didn't feel long and overdrawn. It left me wanting more at each episode. Colin Farrell is fantastic in this show. I honestly think this is probably one of his best performances just because of how much he commits to his character and the role of John Sugar. But yeah, April 5th, the show drops on Apple TV. But for now, let's get to our interview with executive producer Simon Kinberg. Enjoy. Hey, Simon, how are you?
Very good. How are you? I'm excited about anything with geek in it.
Really? Okay. Well, we're going to have a great conversation then, because I got a geeky question that I'd like to ask you.
Let's go.
But I'm going to start off first, though, Okay. Talking about this show, Sugar. It's fantastic. I'm pleasantly surprised by it. What motivated you to want to get behind this series?
I loved the script. It's super simple. Mark Persevich, who I've been a fan of for a long time, and as a geek yourself, you'll know he's worked on some things that we both like. The script was so both classic and throwback and love letter to movies that I are critical to my life and film noir and Chinatown and LA Confidential, but also modern and fresh and just kind of a wild radical swing at the same time. I loved that combination or collision of something old fashioned and something super modern.
Yeah, I love the use of classic Hollywood films. You know, they almost feel as a device to understand the world, and for Sugar to kind of look through the lens of how to understand things around
totally.
It in the situation. Movies obviously are playing a huge part in the series and the way they're sort of interstitially cut in scenes and get fragments of it, like almost like memories. Mm. You know, you've already mentioned a few in your list there, but what classic Hollywood films still stick with you and maybe have in some ways changed your perspective of life?
Oh man, so many. I mean, in general, classic Hollywood films range from Wizard of Oz to Sunset Boulevard to Casablanca to His Girl Friday. I mean, there's just so many classic Hollywood films I watch. And I chose those ones because those are the ones that I watch over and over and over again. And I think that what you said is exactly right, which is that movies and classic cinema are a lens through which Sugar sees the world. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a lens through which we all see the world.
Yeah.
I think in the way that it informs his identity and his character, it informs all of our identities, our characters. I feel like I learned how to be a man more from Tom Cruise growing up than I did my dad. You know,
and I love
and I, you know, as a fellow geek, you'll know Empire Strikes Back was the first time I was like, wait, my dad can be complex and human and flawed, not as flawed as obviously Darth Vader, but nevertheless, I do think movies are our way into who we are.
Yeah. And, you know, you've mentioned you've worked on some pretty geeky projects in the past, you know, the
yes,
X-Men franchise being huge. Star Wars Rebels is easily my most favorite Star Wars piece of content that we've gotten in years. Yeah,
oh, so, man, that's awesome. Thank you.
And, you know, going from those, you know, big IP properties, how does your approach differ with a television series like this? And are there any unique storytelling opportunities that excite you about the TV format? I know you've worked in TV before, but especially with maybe more of a serialized and more structured list of episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I've always tried to balance working with IP with working on original things at the same time, or things like The Martian that was not, is based on a book, but it's not a big piece of IP with decades of, you know, fandom. What I like about original stuff is that you are unencumbered, both by the actual thing that it's based on, but more by an audience's or fans' expectations. And so you are in many ways constantly allowed to and encouraged to surprise people. You know, and I think so that's exciting to me. And television is fairly new to me. Like, I mean, I spent the first probably 20 years of my career working primarily to entirely in features. And I still work in features, obviously. But what's cool about TV as a storyteller is you just get to stretch out character. To me, it's about character. It's that you get to go deeper. It's a more vertical storytelling, even though it's horizontal, even though it's going longer, you just get to go deeper dives into you living with a character for 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, right? And it's something I will say that the only training I had for it was the X-Men franchise, because it was, you know, and obviously comic books do this. Comic books are serialized. And we knew within reason that we were going to make an X-Men movie, you know, once every 2-3 years. And I made, I can't even remember, 5 of them. And when you add all that up, it's like a 10-hour season of television.
Yes.
And you're following the same characters and you're trying to evolve those characters. And so that the serialized format of telling sequelized movies was a good training ground for me. Obviously a high stakes training ground, but it was exciting. And when I thought about, wow, I could have told all 5 of those movies in the span of, you know, 6 months of a writer's room and a year, year and a half of shooting. That's compelling.
Yeah. I love the comparison of taking like a huge franchise, like the X-Men franchise, and comparing it to how you have to distill it down and focusing on the characters. And actually with that, here comes my geeky question.
Okay.
You know, there's a big push, obviously, in the MCU. Who has X-Men rights, you know, as a geek? What would you like to see in the next iteration of the X-Men?
That's an interesting question. You know, I'm going to give you a very simple answer, something new.
Awesome.
You know, it's like I'm really proud of what we did. I'm really enamored of what Bryan Singer did with the first couple movies before I got involved. And Ian and Patrick did an amazing job. James and Michael did an amazing job. Obviously, Hugh was extraordinary as Wolverine. And I think if not Hugh, it's going to be hard for someone to take that over. But I'm excited about just a new interpretation of the comics. And I think there's so much room to explore and to grow. And I know that Kevin Feige will do that because Kevin, I think, I don't know if he can say this. I don't even know if it's entirely true anymore, but I think the X-Men are his favorite comic. And
he said it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I certainly know that he's wildly passionate about it. And so I just, and I know how talented he is, as a storyteller and as a producer, but I have 1,000% trust. It's going to be incredibly dope. For me, it's just something new.
Something new, something fresh. I think everyone's kind of on that boat. I know a lot of people have, you know, cling to that nostalgia of, you know, the Singer movies and the movies that you worked on with the First Class series. And they definitely helped shape the comic book film genre and establish some things. I totally agree. I think fresh and maybe more character focused approach would be, I'd love that.
You
know, right. I think that would be a lot of fun. Now, you know, speaking of characters, you know, what do you look for in a character? What drives you to want to write or work on a character and just be like, I'm motivated to get behind this, especially in the landscape of television?
I mean, it's different things all the time, but I would say probably what it boils down to is a character who is both relatable, so I can understand and be inside his or her shoes, but also something I wish I could be. So it's a combination of relatability and wish fulfillment. And I think that when you can combine those two things, where you're like, I wish I was as strong, I wish I had superpowers, and yet also I can identify with that person because they're fragile and vulnerable and insecure and flawed and all of the things that we all are. That combination for me has always been what drew me to characters when I was a kid, and what continues to drive me as a writer and a producer, storyteller.
Well, you know, again, with Sugar, there's so much to take in with his character. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a first entry into a story. I think that we could safely say I want to explore more of the character. What are you hoping viewers and audiences will take away from this first entry?
My hope is that audiences take away the love of classic film noir, that may be a reintroduction or a new introduction for people, and the modernity and the freshness and the sort of radical innovative approach to storytelling and to specifically the detective genre. You know, detective stories are everywhere. There's how many hundreds of television shows have we seen, cops, detectives, mystery shows? And so like finding a way to put top spin on that genre is what I hope audiences take away, is that this is cool because I love mysteries. I love, you know, somebody solving puzzles. But I really love this character and I've never seen anybody quite like him. And I want to follow him into more adventures and more stories in the future.
Well said, because that's exactly what the show did for me, at least. It really established this character of Sugar, and I want to explore more. And it really does flip, as you said, the film noir crime detective genre on its head, especially even the way it's shot. You know, there's some classical moments, but then there's some more like docu-style stuff. Felt very fresh. Simon, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Us on the Geekcentric podcast.
Really fun.
You are absolutely fantastic, and you know a good story when it's in front of you. And thank you for all the work that you've done.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you so
much.
Good talking.
Have a good day, man. And that is my interview with Simon Kinberg. The dude is totally a geek. I absolutely love it. And I guess it goes without saying, given his resume, his CV, if you will, of what he's worked on. But that said, this was a really fun conversation. I get to kind of geek out with him about Hollywood film and classic films, and also talk about the work that he's done in the comic book genre space. And I'm totally with him about the X-Men films, the future X-Men films from the MCU. They got to be different. They got to feel entirely different. And you know what? I didn't even say it then, but maybe we start off with a core set of mutants that are different from traditional set that we would have seen in the previous movies. A huge thanks again to Simon for taking the time, to Apple TV for setting up this interview, and to you, our listeners, for joining us for this special Behind the Geeks. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please feel free to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you really enjoyed the interview, feel free to leave us a 5-star review. That goes a long way. We are trying to spread the word about Geekcentric, and you know what? The best way to spread that word is from listeners like you. If you want to write into the show and let us know what you thought about this episode or any of the episodes that we've done in the past, well, you can do so at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at GeekcentricYT, or on Instagram at wearegeekcentric. Now, if you want to watch this interview and then see me smile like a total doofus and see me and Simon kind of chuckle back and forth, you can watch this interview plus an array of other interviews that we have on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric. There will be a link in the description below. Keep in mind, we have a ton of other episodes covering the world of movies and TV shows out now, including our spoiler-filled discussion for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, as well as our spoiler-free review for the Netflix series Three Body Problem, as well as Marvel Animation's X-Men 97 out now. We also have a This Week in Geek episode where we talk about some of the latest trailers that dropped in the past couple of weeks leading into the summer of 2024. We also have episodes for our ongoing Watch Club for Star Wars, The Bad Batch. If you're a fan of A Galaxy Far, Far Away and you've been following that show, be sure to check out our Watch Club discussions where we get pretty spoilery and it all and break it all down episode to episode. Right now, our latest episode dropped for 10 and 11, which is out right now for you to enjoy. But we got so much more to come, so we hope you stick around. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I think I already said that. You know what? We're running in circles. So until next time, I appreciate you. Peace.